You are now listening to the Backseat Critics, the movie review podcast.
Welcome back to the Backseat Critics. My name is RJ today.
And today my name is Andrew. We talk about movies that you should steer clear of, including this week's Alice in Wonderland from 1999. Favorite year recently, I guess.
You know what? 1999 was the last year of greatness.
It really was. It really was.
Sadly, that does not count for this movie.
No, this was, you know what? We'll get into it. We'll get into it.
Yes.
All right. So today we are going to talk about a few things. So we're going to jump in. We're going to touch on a couple like news topics. We're going to be talking about Avatar going to Disney.
Yippee.
And also Disneyland is raising their prices.
Boo.
After that, we're going to jump into our 2-minute summary and quiz question, followed by our favorite costumes.
Ooh, quiz question.
Quiz question.
That's new.
Yes, we got a new segment in here. So we're going to talk about our favorite costumes, our favorite sets, our favorite scenes, and if we have time, we'll touch on our favorite characters.
And we're going to get quizzical.
All right. Now on to the show. All right. So first topic, let's talk about Avatar going to Disneyland. What is up with that?
I find it funny, like, okay, Disney World has it. They did the whole Epcot thing. Okay, let's roll with it. They got the big tree.
Yeah.
Awesome, awesome.
Mm-hmm. It's running the Animal Kingdom.
Yeah,
section,
Animal Kingdom. Right? Yes, yeah. Yes, I apologize. It is not an Epcot. It is an Animal Kingdom. But how are they going to tie this into Disneyland? I want to know that. Where are they going to put that?
Here it just says that they're tying it into the whole Animal Kingdom, and they're bringing only two rides.
Well, it is an Animal Kingdom in Disney World.
All right. So, but they're bringing two rides. Like, well,
we already have a big enough land in California where we don't need a second big enough land.
Are they bringing this also to Florida? I didn't see.
No, it's already in Florida.
Oh, it's already there.
It's already in Florida. So they're like,
did not know.
Hey, let's bring Avatar Land into California. And I'm just kind of like, where?
That place is packed already.
Into, yeah, Disneyland is packed. And you know what's funny is that Disneyland itself, like, even the Tomorrowlands, the Frontierlands, all these lands, people think, they're starting to think that they're out of date. Like, kids don't understand the cowboy aspect or that sort of thing.
But they're so generic. It's like, how is that not, like, a timeless thing?
Exactly. But Star Wars Land isn't packed.
Really?
It's flopping in California. It's thriving in Disney World, but it's flopping in California. So I'm curious why they think that Avatar would do well here.
Yeah. And I get that they're bringing in like the Fox properties, but my question is, when are they bringing Alien to Disneyland?
Why not just make a second park or a third park?
Why can't we have a Xenomorph running around just snacks?
They actually did used to have some sort of alien ride back in the day.
Oh, yeah? No kidding.
That turned into Stitch's Greatest Escape.
But
the alien ride was, they had to get rid of it because it was too scary.
Are you serious?
Yeah, it was in California Adventures. I forgot what it was called, but look it up. Fun fact.
All right. All right. I'll look up some stuff and tag it in the show notes.
Boom.
All right. You want to talk about the raising prices in Disneyland?
That was no 5-second pause. Yes, I would like to talk about them raising prices in Disneyland.
All right. Go ahead.
I find it funny because what they want to try to do is that they want to try to lessen the crowds. And so what they're doing is by raising those prices, their goal is to hopefully outprice people.
Yeah, get all the poor people out of Disneyland.
Basically, or you have to fight and claw even more so to go to Disneyland. So if you wanted to wait 2 years to go to Disneyland, you save up all your money and to go to Disneyland. Yeah, great. Now you're probably waiting 4 or 5 years eventually. I mean, they already took a big increase, and now you're taking another big increase.
That's an interesting take. And I actually didn't think about that. But you actually brought up that Galaxy's Edge isn't packed.
No.
So that kind of leads me to believe that the whole park could fit more people. So why are they trying to weed people out?
That's why they want to bring in Avatar. That's their two things that they're looking at, is either raise the price rates of tickets, or let's bring in another land and let's open it up a little bit.
So they're expanding.
One of the two. And I think they're going to try to do both. But they want to try to make it to where you're not...
Where?
Oh, now they're going to get rid of another employee parking garage somewhere, and they're going to buy some other property.
Always these poor employees.
Oh, yeah. I mean, that's what they did for Star Wars. They got rid of an employee parking garage. Now you have to ride this tram there.
That's insane. That's absolutely insane.
But it's fine. I mean, if that's what they're going to try to do, I kind of wonder when Disney is going to reach its mark of when they just price themselves out.
I'm kind of wondering that too, because like the prices I was reading, they're going up like $100 or $200 for like a package. So, and that's just like 1 year increase, and it looks like they're planning more in the future.
Oh, yeah.
So,
I mean, it's basic economics to where they want to try to get it to where they've reached the point or the threshold of, yeah, if we go any higher, people aren't going to pay our prices. So they're trying to find that threshold. And I think that they're going to find it pretty soon.
I agree, because if I'm being honest, I think their prices are a bit high right now.
Oh, definitely. For anything. I mean, it's definitely high, but you fully well expect that when you go to Disneyland.
Yeah.
That's why you have those Instagrams. Shout out to Disney on the Dime.
Again, we love these guys.
But they show great deals, or other Disney Instagrammers, where you can find great like Black Friday deals, great other deals out there for tickets.
Stuff like that, super great to see.
Yep. So that's what, I mean, Disney on the Dime, they find those deals, they share it with everybody.
Yeah, it's just insane that Disney's kind of moving in that direction. Makes me kind of wonder like why they ousted Iger. Chopek.
Chopek was going in that direction regardless.
Yeah, but now that Chopek's out, why are they still going in that direction?
I think they've... Chopek probably just started the ball.
All right.
Pushed the ball and was like, let's go. I kind of wonder how much life actually Disney has left in it, Disneyland itself.
Do you think, because Universal and... Universal... They expanded somewhat recently.
With
the Mario Land several years back with Harry Potter.
Hogwarts.
Yeah. They have, was it Dr. Seuss Land that they added like 5-6 years ago? Do you think that they're going to pass up Disney as far as like...
Eventually.
Okay.
Eventually. I mean, just the stuff they have with Transformers walking around.
Snap.
Yeah, you got the Transformers. You got the Grinch that comes out during Christmas time.
That's cool.
Fantastic. Beetlejuice walks around. They also have the some sort of show with fireworks and explosions and people going up on jet skis. They have the whole Halloween Fright Night thing going on.
Actually, shout out to a mutual friend of ours, Tyler, Horribly Hokey on Instagram. Dude did Halloween setups for Universal like a year or so.
See?
So, yeah.
I think...
That was super cool.
Universal's catching up.
Okay. So, I was just curious where... Because you're definitely more like the theme park guy. Like, you go to these places.
Yes.
So, I was curious on your take of like...
Don't sleep on Enchanted Forest here in Oregon. You might catch a needle or two.
That's true.
Or go to Oaks Park, you know? You might walk away some hepatitis. It's okay, though.
It's okay. You can always be cured of hepatitis.
You know, I'm really enjoying my fifth ear. It's fantastic, really? Yes.
Okay. That's what that is.
Yeah. I don't know where the other two are. 1, 2, and 5. That's what I got. I don't know where 3 and 4 are.
Remind me after the podcast. I'll show you where the other two are.
Okay, gotcha. Somebody needed to.
But until then, let's talk a little bit about the movie. You want to jump into the 2-minute review. It's our summary. Sorry.
I got it. I got it. Ready?
Is this going to be under 10 seconds?
Yes.
Cool.
Okay, ready? This is Alice in Wonderland.
Yep.
I don't know how else to explain this.
You know, I've actually read the book a couple of times. I absolutely love the book, and it's they basically just word for word took from the book. Except the book is somehow more entertaining, but we'll get into that.
Yes.
With an all-star cast like that, it's like this. It's surprising that it's this boring.
I thought we'll get more into this.
All right, we'll get into it. I don't know.
You're letting the people down. They are looking at us saying, RJ, Andrew, you're failing us.
I am so sorry.
Yeah, you better pick it back up here.
I'm working on it. But until then, before we jump into topics, let's go into our new section.
Okay.
So I'm going to drop a little quiz question for you right here.
Okay.
Right now.
I'm on the spot. Okay.
You're going to think about it.
Okay.
And at the end of the episode,
I'm not going to have an answer.
Give me an answer.
But that's okay.
All right. All right. Here's your question, my man. What Jim Henson movie has a couple searching for an elusive monster in an Amish-esque town? And the movie is narrated by Ludacris.
What the?
Go ahead and think about it.
I'm not going to get
that. I'll give you a hint. Okay. There's some illegal avian activity going on in this town. We'll get back to this at the end of the episode.
Yeah, Ludacris is getting me. Anyways. So what's our first segment?
Hey, let's jump into sets.
Okay, let's go. Sets. Let's talk about sets, baby.
Just you and me. All right, what's your number one?
I enjoyed where we are. Yeah, how can you not love the caterpillar?
Caterpillar's one of my favorite characters.
How can you not love the set that he's in? The giant mushroom, smoking his pipe, bong. It looked more like a bong.
It does. It's at least in the book, I believe it's a hookah.
Yeah, this one looks like kind of like that.
Yeah.
Chilling. I just like the scenery, the colors.
I gotcha.
I will go with the caterpillar scene, number one.
My number one is going
to... Oh, that's for sets, by the way. That's my favorite set. Not favorite scene, favorite set.
I gotcha.
Okay.
This is my
favorite set. Just so you know, favorite set.
RJ!
Okay. I just want to make sure you knew.
All right. Number one favorite set is...
Yeah, you got to think about it. It is sets we're talking about, by the way. Not scenes, sets.
Sets. Okay. Is actually right at the beginning when she first goes into Wonderland... The giant books, and you've got the four mice people running around. They have the little race.
You've got the guy
that does a dry speech.
Yeah.
Ignore the rest of the scene, but just the set itself, the giant books, they're leaning over. They can like open them up and stuff like that. I thought that was kind of neat.
Yeah, it was kind of cool. I can see that.
I don't know. I enjoyed it. It was kind of cool that like some of the books... like opened up and they had like a page or two that they could turn.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
You had that weird upstairs, downstairs. Mm-hmm. You're walking up.
Yeah, the like MC Escher kind of scene. Yeah.
They had that going on. Yeah, okay.
Yeah.
I hear you.
That's my number two. Number one.
We're talking about sets and we got to figure out your number one. Hey, you know what? We're no five take Bob's in here, okay?
No, we're not.
Okay.
We're better than that.
All right. So, my number two.
Why are you talking so softly?
Because it's going to throw you off.
Is it really?
It's the tea party.
It's the what?
The tea party.
No kidding.
I mean, it looks like a legitimate big table, which I kind of wonder who else they're inviting. But, you know, when you see the cartoon, you see that big table. You see them partying, doing fun. I think they did the cartoon justice.
I'll agree with you there. Yeah.
Even though it's more of the daytime, not as dark inside the woods area, it is more light, it's, bright. It, but I think
they still nailed it.
Yeah.
I actually enjoyed the hare's like costume, which was nice to see.
You know what? All rabbits in this movie are creepy as heck.
But we'll I love touch it.
On that later.
I love that because it kind of hit.
Dude, that one was the white rabbit, the way he moved.
He was tweaking out at the end. We'll get into it.
The whole movie.
But at the end, they sped up some of the footage, so he looked really like jerky and stuff.
He looked like that throughout the whole movie.
At the end, he was worse.
The whole time, though, I was just like, if I saw this rabbit in real life, I am running the other way.
Which brings up the question, why did Alice follow her? This bunny.
A tweaking rabbit.
Yeah. She's like, oh, cool. This guy is tweaking on.
It's because she wanted to tweak. Here we are.
Yeah. She wanted to get out of singing a song.
So she wanted to go take something to take the
edge
off.
She wanted to get high. She wanted to get high.
Oh, this took a dark turn here, my guy.
All right, she wanted to get high.
What's your number two?
She wanted to talk to the candy man.
Did she?
I believe she did. So my number two, my number two and three are actually really close in both location.
Okay.
And also just like how much I like them. But my number two, I'm going to go with the courtroom at the end with the Queen of Hearts. It's all built out of dice and cards.
Okay.
I just really enjoyed that.
The scenery of it.
Yeah. They just kind of leaned into that. So I appreciated that. I liked that it didn't look like it was just painted walls or just like sloppily thrown together. Like it looked like they actually took the time to like make the set and like scale up some dye and stuff like that. So
I think most of the sets felt that way.
Yeah.
I think most of the effort went to sets in this one.
Sets and costumes are good in this movie.
Sure.
Good.
Sure.
For made for TV.
Yes. Sure. Sure.
Very good. I'm kidding, not very good. But they're good. They're made by Jim Henson.
Number three for me will be the rat people. The rat people.
We're talking sets.
Yeah, when they're running around that set that you mentioned as your number one.
Oh, yeah.
That will be my number three.
Okay.
My
number three is going to be the hedge maze where they're playing.
Shut the front door.
No, yeah. Hedges looked horrible.
Yeah.
But I liked it. It's a fantasy, weird, Kafka-esque story. Like, yeah, let's get weird with it.
They tried to, but not really.
They really tried. I enjoyed that set. Not much else to say there.
Meh.
Get out of here.
Aye.
Get out of here.
Aye.
Get out of here.
Aye.
All right. What's your number three?
I gave my number three.
Oh.
We're on to the next subject.
Which is?
I don't know.
Costumes.
Costumes. In the game. Costumes. By RJ and Andrew.
So costumes, we're going to talk about our favorite costumes, characters, not characters, but just creatures, things throughout the whole movie, whatever we liked.
Whatever you want to call these things, or these creatures, these animals.
If there's a person in it, if it's animatronic, fine.
Whatever it might be.
Yeah, we're going for it.
All right, so we're going costumes.
Mm-hmm.
My number one costume is the
Whoopi Goldberg?
The turtle.
Oh!
Mr. Gene Wilder.
The Mock Turtle.
Yes.
My the man, turtle. The Mock Turtle.
Because that was a terrible turtle costume. And I was loving every second of it, though, because of how bad it was. And I couldn't believe that they did my man's Gene Wilder that dirty.
Let's talk about this for a sec. They had an all-star cast. They had Whoopi Goldberg. They had
Gene Wilder.
They had Gene Wilder. They had Christopher Lloyd.
Martin Short.
They had Richard Coombs.
Martin Short. Ben Kingsley.
Miranda Richardson. They had Simon Beale. They had Pete Postlethwaite. they had Ben Kingsley in here, George Wendt, Robbie Coltrane.
Mm-hmm.
But yet, the only actor that I personally felt like actually like put out some semblance of effort was my man Gene Wilder.
I disagree.
Really?
I think...
I'm not saying he gave it his all. I'm just saying he gave the most out of the gauntlet we have here.
I think two of them did, and Gene Wilder is definitely one of them.
Who would you say is the second?
The second, I would have said, would have been Martin Short.
Really?
I think he did his Martin Short-esque version of the Mad Hatter.
Do you think, because I was actually talking about this with Jen, do you think they should have swapped those two? Done Gene Wilder as the Mad Hatter.
Oh my gosh.
And yes. Then Martin Short as the Mock Turtle.
I think Martin Short could just play a different character in the movie altogether.
Completely agree.
He doesn't need to be the turtle.
No.
I think if you had Gene Wilder as the Mad Hatter, though.
100%
this
better.
This movie goes better. Yeah. Yes. 100%. Just make him be Willy Wonka. You got it. You're gold.
Just let him be.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Completely agree.
Let him be the guy from Blazing Saddles. We got a good movie.
Yes, we do. We'll start of one. All right. So my favorite costume in this is going to be the Griffin.
Uh-huh.
Same scene.
Yes, 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 yes.
Same scene as Gene Wilder's, you know, Mock Turtle. I just enjoyed just seeing a giant puppet Griffin. It was kind of nice to see. I thought it wasn't great, but I thought it was pretty well done. It was kind of the most out there as far as this movie went. I liked it. It kind of gave me some kind of Skeksis vibe.
It gave me some OPB vibes.
Also that.
I was like, yep, this looks like a public broadcasting movie.
But I liked costume. It. But like out of the gauntlet of stuff that we had in this, and some of the worst costumes in this, which I don't know what your take on it is, but Whoopi Goldberg's as the cat? Creepy.
You know what? I'm going to give that my number two.
Are you serious?
Mm-hmm.
Get out of here.
I'm moving on to
get
number
out of here.
Two.
This is a one-man show now.
You know why it's number two?
Why?
Because it reminded me of the movie Cats.
Get out of here.
Butthole edition.
Get out of here.
What?
You're nuts. Also, release the Butthole Edition.
You never seen that? Oh, yeah.
No, I know. I know. They had to CG out the buttholes.
No, when I saw that movie...
Cats?
Not Cats, but when I saw Whoopi Goldberg sitting there, I was just like, what in the cats is this? I was like, they're ahead of their time.
Right? Yeah. Also, future movie?
Cat. It is. 100%. Don't
you audience? Let us know how
Rum Tug Tugger needs to be reviewed here.
Rum Tug Tugger needs a rub tub tuggin.
Anyways.
So my number two character, not character, sorry, I'm getting mixed up over
dude,
here.
Dude, we're talking about costume.
I am out of it today. You saw the same movie as I did. It is exhausting watching this movie.
Yeah, it is.
It's so exhausting.
So dry. Super dry.
It's so boring. But my number two is going to be going to the hair at the tea party with the Mad Hatter.
Okay.
I enjoyed it. As far as a delirious, kind of stage showy, pretentious hair goes, they nailed it.
Okay.
Also, just very creepy.
Yeah.
Super creepy.
Any animalistic humanoid creature in this movie is creepy. 100%.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I kind of wish they leaned a little bit more into that.
No.
Yes. Yeah.
Then we do have Rum Tum Tugger as the Cheshire Cat all of a sudden.
That's fine by me.
My number three, believe it or not, is going to be the Walrus.
The Walrus?
The Walrus.
Starring Justin Long.
Do you know why it's the Walrus?
Because I don't know.
I think they did a good job portraying.
It reminded you of Justin Long?
Yes, 100%. I was just like, I did two takes on the TV. I was like, Justin Long?
What are you doing here?
Mm-hmm. I was like, He got accepted into college again.
Finally, my guy. You're out of those Apple commercials and you're onto things that are worse.
But it is the Walrus.
Okay, why?
I just enjoyed the human take on them. It was, I don't think he was really dressed up. Didn't show anything. It was just kind of.
They did that a lot with the characters.
They did. So I give it to the Walled Man.
The Wall Man?
The Walrus.
Talk to the Walrus.
What you got?
My number three. We've already touched on this character. It's a caterpillar.
Ah. I didn't want to go back to the well with him again, but he is up there for me. I agree.
Yeah, they've got the little prickly bits. He's breathing. They've got the little breathing movements. He's got light coming out of his chest, and then he goes full like Galadriel with... What are you doing, dude? Just fixing the cord. You can't fix the cord. It's perfect.
Okay, so you're like the caterpillar.
So I like the caterpillar.
Okay, why? Why do you like the caterpillar?
I thought it was a well-designed costume.
Why do you think that?
Because I thought the detail that they put into the caterpillar with the hookah, the lights coming out of his little buckles, his little like uniform going into the caterpillar thing, I thought that was nice.
But what if it wasn't nice?
If it wasn't nice, it wouldn't be in my top three.
But what if it was?
But if it was, it would be in my top three, which it is. And because it is, and we both hit our top three, we're going to the next segment.
Wait.
Which is scenes.
What?
Which is scenes.
Four.
And before we get to scenes, we're actually going to talk to you in an intermission. We will be back to you guys shortly.
What is up, guys? Welcome to our intermission, a great part of our show. Probably more energy than you got through this episode.
Yeah, 100%, because boy, was this exhausting to watch.
But we also have some great people to shout out at this point in time.
Mm-hmm.
First is being our great, great friends over here at City Apparel and Designs. You can find them on City Apparel and Designs on Instagram. If you are in Portland, great blazer stuff headed your way over from them. Great, great outfits. Best mm-hmm. place to get your blazer gear, stickers.
He's got all sorts of merch. Didn't he start doing like pins and stuff recently, or am I mistaken on that?
Check him out.
Definitely. We've got a couple shirts from him, and they're good quality. The prints are solid. They last for a lot of washes without like cracking or anything. Definitely check them out. I'm going to shout out a mutual friend of ours, Tyler. Horrifically Hokey on Instagram. There's an underscore between horrifically and hokey, because that's how you do that. He does some artwork from time to time, and just want to give him a little shout out. If you're interested in any sort of spooky commissions or anything, reach out to him. He's your guy. And with that, let's go back to the show.
Sorry.
What are you sorry about?
That they have to listen to this now.
Okay, yeah. Very, very sorry. All right. Thank you for sticking around. Back to scenes.
We're off to talk about scenes.
What's happening?
The magical wizard of scenes.
I'm so confused. Everything.
Well, my favorite scene is going to be the tea party.
Really?
Why would it not be? You have Martin Short running around looking like a crazy guy with his head blown up, like the NBA Jam characters. His head is
yes,
on fire.
Yeah.
You have the Mad Hatter going.
Okay, but better scene when they swap in Gene Wilder.
Yes, 100%. And now this movie just actually became slightly interesting for like 5 minutes. But
man, that scene was 15 minutes.
Okay, so now the scene became slightly better. What scene wasn't 15 minutes? Let's be real.
To be honest, Tweedledee, Tweedledum.
Yeah, they did them dirty.
Yeah,
dirty.
That was a short scene. Also, the White Knight scene.
Yeah, that's kind of like, eh, Christopher Lloyd. Okay.
Yeah, kind of made me wish that they that Christopher Lloyd did a Don Quixote.
Well, mine's Matt Hatter.
Marty, to get back in time, I have to charge at these windmills at
what was your
88 miles an hour.
What was your favorite scene?
And I go back in time.
What's your favorite scene?
I'm a Spaniard.
So it was that scene.
Ah!
Okay. So Andrew's favorite scene was the White Knight scene.
No.
And he really liked it because he really likes Christopher Lloyd. He's a closet fan of Christopher Lloyd.
Closet fan? Get out of here.
If you look at our studio, the not
best,
so studio,
the best.
He has Christopher Lloyd action
all over
figures.
The place. My favorite Star Trek anything
he has Christopher
is
Lloyd
a search for Spock because Christopher Lloyd.
He is a big
Christopher Lloyd really
fan.
Brought Search for Spock to another level.
Page Master.
That is why
movie.
Search for Spock is the best Star Trek movie ever.
In Search of Dr. Seuss, future episode. He really likes that too.
Of course I do. Future episode. Anyways, no, my favorite scene, it's actually going to be the Mock Turtle. Because
Ooh.
That was the one...
Ooh.
That was the one actor, and we've already touched on this, that I felt like actually like put in an effort.
Besides Martin Short.
I will kind of contend that Martin Short might have been like the second.
I think that's the best effort you can get out of Martin Short.
I've seen better stuff from Martin Short.
Okay, Father the Bride, we'll give it to him. Come on, Papala. All
right. But the Mock Turtle scene. I was bored. I was falling asleep. Gene Wilder comes in. I'm cool.
He's got that vibe to him.
He does.
He's got the, I'm Gene Wilder. And you're like,
he just,
yes, you are,
he
sir.
He carries a scene. He owns the camera anytime he's in shot.
Oh, yeah. I like Gene Wilder.
All right. What's your number two?
Turtle. Yeah, I think you talked me into it. I think I'm going to follow you with that number two, even though I think the Tea Party was a little bit better just because I like the hecticness of it. But, you know, you got the turtle. You got Gene Wilder. They did this man dirty singing that song.
Yes, they did.
It's like, come on, why are you making... And then they make him wear that outfit, too, on top of it. I'm like, this man probably looks back at that.
Wait. This was Jim Henson Company was involved with this. Jim Henson Company was involved with Ninja Turtles. Gene Wilder, fifth Ninja Turtle, fourth movie.
I mean, they rebooted that movie. I think they're rebooting it again.
Are they?
I think so. I think there's going to be another one coming out. Another reboot.
What are we doing?
Trying to make Ninja Turtles great again.
They've always been great. They've just had low spots.
MNTGA. Make Ninja Turtles great again.
We should all get like green hats with that.
But here we are. Gene Wilder rocking out the turtle costume. He just rocked it.
It's a floppy, horrible costume. It is one of the worst costumes in the movie.
They took this. You know what? Actually, in that scene, I really thought he was going to get pushed into that.
I did too.
I was waiting for it. I was like, oh, this homie's going to get cooked.
So,
because they talked about turtle soup. The song's about turtle soup. I was like, you're talking about eating yourself, my guy?
Mm-hmm.
I was like, get out of here. I was like, you're about to die.
So I read the book a couple times.
The turtle falls in, doesn't he?
No. There's a whole thing about like it's a mock turtle, which is part turtle, part duck, part something else. And it's basically just like a turducken where you're stuffing stuff inside of another thing and then cooking into a soup.
Why didn't they do that in this?
Because he doesn't die in the book.
But he should.
But in this, I was also with you where I'm thinking, are they going to stray from the book here? And is he going to be falling in? Because he's right there. This is like a foot wide little edge that he's on.
In the way the griffin was stirring, I was like, this homie's going in.
Yeah, I was like, oh, is the griffin going to turn out to be a bad guy and just like knock him in?
I was waiting for them to just put Gene Wilder out of his misery.
I was kind of waiting for everyone to put me out of my misery during this.
What was your number two?
So that's a tough one. My number two, I'm gonna go with a croquet.
The court?
No.
No, not the court.
No, it's out in the garden. They're playing, it's like racquetball. Not racquetball, but what do you call it? Is it croquet ball?
Croquet? They're playing croquet?
Yeah. With flamingos. The flamingos and the hedgehogs.
Okay.
I love that whole scene.
Well, I like before that whole scene is when...
It was just utter chaos. You look in the background and there's just like characters doing things and it's like its own little story that's a little bit more interesting than what's actually happening in frame. It felt like if you've ever seen The Party with Peter Sellers, it felt like that kind of energy.
Are you talking about all of them trying to do each other dirty and cheat?
Kind of, yeah.
What can we just mention the fact that before this croquet scene, Alice gets these two cards in her pocket and they're never heard of or seen of again?
Yes.
Like she just goes, oh, don't worry, guys. I'll protect you. Whoop. And then they just jump in. It's just like.
And then they're gone.
What are you jumping to? First of all, this is all of a sudden turned into TVMA.
Right.
And now these cards are going in her pocket.
Mm-hmm.
She got some dirty tricks. I wonder what happened to those cards when she came into the real world.
I was wondering that too. It'd have been kind of fun if, like, after the song, she like pulls out a couple of cards. They're just like regular playing cards.
Or all of a sudden, that she's got some homies to back her up, and you're like, "You won't fight me? Well, guess what? Blah, I got my cards with me." They come out.
She starts throwing them like Gambit.
No, they come out full armor.
And they're coming out like
they go full, back to full size.
Oh no!
Can you imagine that? All right.
What is your number?
We are on number three for me. Yeah.
Yeah.
My number three, I'm going to give a quick consolation prize to the court, but my number three will be the walrus.
Oh,
actually,
back
no,
to
consolation
the walrus.
To the butterfly, but I cannot keep on going back to him, the caterpillar.
Mm.
But the walrus. I just enjoyed that. Actually caught the way they're telling that story, even though that story was terrible.
It really was.
But the way they're telling it and the way they had like the box and everything.
It's such a sad but shocking story in the book. And it's just boring here.
Well, he's just like, I gotta eat you. Don't eat us. Why are you doing this? You're tricking us. You're being mean.
And then he pulls out. Do you see the color of the like the inside of the clams? It's like a bright blue.
Yeah, I don't know if I'd be eating that clam.
No. But stuff looked like Windex.
I like the fact that Tweedledee and Tweedledum are holding this box with this thing going on. I was like, right. This is kind of interesting. So
I love that the little like the spirits of the clams are floating up, like Tweedledum like grabs one and eats it, and it's like, yep. What?
Exactly. There's some craziness going on in that scene. I was like, that's my number three.
Honorable mention, that scene. But my number three, we're going all the way back to the beginning with the mice in the books. And it just erupts into chaos where they're running a race in no particular, you know, order. Yeah. They're just going at it and it turns into M.C. Escher. Some people running upside down, some people riding right side up, running around books into books. It's absolute madness. That's what Alice in Wonderland should be.
Yes. But still a bad scene.
Still a bad scene.
Still boring.
Every scene in this is pretty bad. Except for Gene Walters.
Are we on final takes or are we going to do characters?
We can do characters. All right. Now, before we get into final takes, let's get back to the answer that you've all been waiting for. RJ.
And the answer is, I don't know.
Let's review the question again. What Jim Henson movie has a couple searching for an elusive monster? And the movie is narrated by Ludacris.
Yeah, I have no idea. What Muppet movie is this?
Oh, it's not a Muppet movie. It's a 2015 rom-com on Lifetime Channel called Turkey Hollow, future episode.
Oh my gosh. I remember when they pushed that movie. No, that will not be a future episode.
Yes, it will. All right. Now, final takes.
You know what? This movie has some decent scenery to it. It has some great wisdom, actually. I don't know if you caught that in this movie. This movie actually has some deep, deep wisdom when you listen to it. I think the line that was dropped at one point is, when you're poor, you have a whole lot of nothing. Mm-hmm. And I was just like, oh my goodness, I feel smarter.
Wow, a meaningless phrase.
But it's like, okay, that reminds me of the Winnie the Pooh phrase, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Stuff like, Winnie the Pooh's a wise bear.
Yeah, he is. Yeah, he is.
But I think this movie does have a lot of wisdom behind it. But sadly, this is a terrible movie, and it's probably the last on my list from what we reviewed. So, your final take.
All right, so my final take actually isn't that much different than yours. It's a slow, boring movie. They could have cut out 30 minutes and sped up some of the scenes here.
Most definitely.
They had a pretty good cast. They should have done like some switching of like who played what.
Okay, Ben, really quick. I know this is a final take, and we're trying to wrap this up quickly.
Yeah.
Really quickly, who do you think you would have kept in the same role? Like, I think Ben Kingsley as the Caterpillar, keep him.
100%.
Gene Wilder as the Turtle. Obviously, you could put Gene Wilder in almost any role in this movie.
Any role. I really think he would have shined as the Mad Hatter.
You know what I would have seen, like to see differently?
What?
Whoopi Goldberg as the Queen of Hearts.
I was going to bring up Whoopi Goldberg as the Queen of Hearts, move Martin Short to the Cheshire Cat.
Or even, yes, actually, fantastic switch. I was going to say, you could put him as the King, too.
You could, but Cheshire Cat.
Yes. Yep. I agree with that.
Mm-hmm.
I also think Christopher Lloyd. He could have been a good March Hare.
He could have been a what?
Is it the March Hare?
Oh, yeah.
Or the White Rabbit, even. That could have been.
I was going to say the White Rabbit would have been good for him. Yeah.
I think there could have also been some better Tweedledee and Tweedledums, but.
Yeah. Yeah. Was it George Wendt and Robbie Coltrane were.
They did all right. For
what they did all right. It didn't hit that vibe.
No.
No. But you can tell by our low energy that this movie is kind of boring. They could have cut out 30 minutes easily. If you're looking for a good Alice in Wonderland, stick with her OG. Go to Disney. Watch the cartoon. If you want something a little bit more true to form, read the book. It'll take you about as long to read the book as it did to watch the movie here.
Yeah, this is a rough watch. I would say avoid it. If you know Alice in Wonderland already,
Just don't.
You're good.
Just don't.
Yeah.
All right. Any final shout outs?
We good.
All right. And with that, we'll see you guys next Thursday on the Backseat Critics. Stay tuned.
We out.